Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us on this Pentecost Sunday comes from the second chapter of Acts. Again, at verse 7, we hear, "And they were amazed and astonished, saying, 'Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language?'" This is God's word. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names can never hurt me. It's a pretty famous phrase. I Googled it to find out where it comes from and discovered something more interesting. Nobody believes that it's true. There were links to countless articles, all talking about the tremendous power words have to destroy hearts and minds and reputations. And many of them mention the power that words have to comfort and to heal. But in the end, there was unanimous agreement. Words matter. Language is of critical importance. There is something profound about the process of our minds forming thoughts and expressing those thoughts in words. And at the very same time, communication is far from easy. There are communication breakdowns between genders, different races and nationalities, different social classes. It even goes wrong between people who know each other extremely well. What hope is there for us to understand each other? Remember the Genesis story of the Tower of Babel? I hope so. It was today's Old Testament reading. And it's fascinating, isn't it, to consider that there was a time when there was an original unified language of humanity. But because those first people ignored God's plan to go and fill the earth and came up with a plan of their own to stay put, we're told that God confused and divided their language, and because they were unable to communicate, they scattered. I bring this up, it's really the appointed readings of the day that bring this up, because you are invited to see the Pentecost story as a reversal, a gracious reversal of Babel. We fast forward to the day of Pentecost, captured in our second reading. This took place after Jesus' resurrection and ascension into heaven. On the day of Pentecost, we're told, there were Jews dwelling in Jerusalem, devout people who had come from every nation of the world. The book of Acts provides a lengthy list of places where those people came from. And among that group of people, there were huge differences in race, class, status, and of course, language that would have caused a communication headache. And on that day of Pentecost, gathered for a Thanksgiving celebration at the Jerusalem temple, this diverse crowd heard what sounded like a rush of wind and saw tongues of fire which spread out and touched each person there. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and given the gifts of speech and of hearing. We are told they were all excited because each of them heard the believers talking in their own language. And then Peter stood up to speak, and he quotes the prophet Joel. And he says, "This is what I will do in the last days, God says. I will pour out my Spirit on everyone. Your sons and daughters will proclaim my message. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit, and they will proclaim my message." Peter is announcing the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy that this pouring out of the Spirit is now happening. It's happening to older men and women, to young people, to students, to parents, to people of humble means, people on the margins, the ones that the world has very little use for. The Spirit is pulling them all in. The Spirit of God is descending on them as they speak and as they hear. Do you believe that? Do you believe that such speaking and hearing happened back then? And do you believe that it happens today? Is the Holy Spirit powerful enough to overcome the barriers and boundaries that frustrate our speaking and hearing? The church says yes. The Holy Spirit overcomes the things that divide us and opens our ears, our hearts, and our minds to the very words of God. Look at us this morning. We come from all kinds of backgrounds, born in widely different places. Some of us grew up in loving and close homes. Others have childhood memories that bring a lot of hurt. We come with all kinds of life experiences. Some are happy, others not so much. Some are healthy, some are suffering. Some are young, some are seasoned, some are frustrated and angry. Some are experiencing joy and happiness. If we analyzed ourselves this way, we could fill a book with the diversity of our experiences among us. Yet by God's design, we are all here together. Hearts and ears open. One of the reasons why people keep coming back to the church is that they hear something in this place they do not hear elsewhere. You don't get this anywhere else. Like the crowd on that first Pentecost day, we come here with all our differences, and yet we're still able to hear what God is saying to us. The Spirit of God is descending on us as we hear His Word. And what is this unique Word that you don't get anywhere else? It's the announcement that someone has come to make things right. More specifically, it is the verbal description of the life and the actions of Jesus Christ, God's own Son. But it's not a description given in a theoretical way or an abstract way or a way that only makes sense to the academics. May it never be those things. This unique message is the announcement that Jesus was God walking around in the world. And not just walking around, He died sacrificially to save you. And He rose again from the dead so that you would too. And He ascended into heaven to reign as King and to send His Spirit to accompany every word ever said about Him. Does that grab your heart at all? And this message is called the Gospel. And it is the telling of news that changes everything about life. Today, as you are aware, people run in races called marathons. And the whole idea of this comes from a historic battle in Greece. The Greeks were hopelessly outnumbered, yet still managed to defeat Persian forces, and a soldier named Pheidippides was commissioned to run from the Battle of Marathon to Sparta, about 26 miles away, to announce what had happened. So he did. Pheidippides had good news to share of actual events that had taken place that would change everything for the Greek people. Now, this victory at Marathon didn't end the war immediately, but it did turn the tide, and it gave the Greeks great confidence to defend their land and their culture. Why did I tell you that story? Because the news about Jesus works in a very similar way. What got the people so excited on Pentecost and what sets hearts on fire today is news. It's an announcement. It is not, here's what you have to do. It is, you have been rescued. Jesus not only won the battle, but the war. Your enemy is defeated. It is finished. The Holy Spirit is sent to make that proclamation as clear as possible. The Spirit is sent first to convict us, to hold us accountable. The Spirit and Word tell us that you and I could never be or do enough or live well enough to gain God's favor. And the same Spirit and Word tell us you don't have to. The gospel is not you have to save yourself from slavery. You have to break out of prison. You have to work yourself back into God's good graces. That is not the gospel at all. The Holy Spirit unwraps the gift again today. The gospel is that Jesus has checked off every box for you. He exchanged places with you so that he got your cross and you get his crown. He's done it. It's yours. Do you taste the sweetness of that? Does that bring a lightness to your soul? If so, that's a sign that the Spirit is communicating to you his greatest gift, saving faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, which continues to be sent with your word to the church and to people of every generation, continuing to pour out your gifts upon your people. May your word and spirit be ever present here. May it fill us with your gifts, with your love and forgiveness, to the degree that we cannot help but run to the world with the same message of saving grace found only in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior, and our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.